Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Chaf Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Chaf on the base, 10 lines from the bottom, Itma. We had learned in the previous shiur a question. The Gemara asked, if Zen Nena V'Zeh Loi Chaser, somebody is living on someone else's property without permission, and normally this tenant would pay rent, but this landlord typically does not rent out this property. So Zen Nena, the tenant is having Hanor, V'Zeh Loi Chaser, but he's not really losing anything. What is the halacha? Does the tenant have to pay rent or not? Itma. So we have, so Gemara says, Rav Kahana Rav Yochanan, Eina Tzaras Lahalos Leschar, rent does not have to be paid under such circumstances. Ravua Am Rav Yochanan Tzarach Lahalos Leschar, rent does have to be paid under these circumstances. Says Rav Papa, Am Rav Papa, Hada Rav Avua, this that we have Rav Avua saying that rent has to be paid under these circumstances, La B'Ferish Itma, El Mechlal Itma. Was not something that he said explicitly, it's something that we were able to extrapolate. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Meila, we know the halacha is that there's a din of Meila B'Hegdish. If somebody misappropriates a Hegdish item for themselves, that he has transgressed Meila B'Hegdish, Karban Meila has to be brought, etc. The Mishnah there discusses a case where the treasurer, the gizbar of the Hegdish, took an evan or kairish al hegdish, a stone or a beam that belongs to hegdish. And as the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara, certainly if the treasurer took this beam with the intention of keeping it for himself, the halacha is that he's considered having been moil behegdish. Furthermore, if he took this item and used it, he'd also be considered being moil behegdish. Here, however, since the item is under his administration, and if he didn't realize that it's a Hegdish item, so therefore it's not that he specifically took it for his own purposes, and furthermore he hasn't made any physical change in the item, we don't have Mila, unless, says the Mishnah, Notal Evan Akarish Lahegdish, if he takes the stone or beam, Harez Lemol, and he hasn't made any physical change, nor has he given it to anyone else, we don't have a situation of Mila. Only when Nosnul Chaveroi, if he gives it to someone else, Humol Chaver Lemol, then has he transgressed Mila, but he transgressed Mila, because he's the one that gave it to his friend, unaware of the status of this item, has not been over Mila. If he, however, put it into his house, so as the Rishonim point out, if in putting in his house he had made some physical change to the item, again, we automatically immediately have Mi'ila. Here, he didn't make any physical change in the item, he just put it into the ceiling, he put it on the roof. So, Harezu Lo'imo, it's not considered that he did Mi'ila, until he lives under it and the value of that benefit equals a pruta. So Shmuel explained, as we've been saying, only if he just placed it down, he didn't build it into the structure, nor certainly did he make any change to the stone or beam. Because if he would build it into the structure, or certainly if he would make a change to the beam or to the stone, he would be over Mi'ila immediately. V'yosef Rav Avua Kamed Rav Yochanan V'kamash Med Shmuel. So when Rav Avua heard this Gemara, he said, Zois Ameris, from here we see, Adob Chatzer Chaveroi Shaloi Midatoi, if somebody just lives here in your property without your knowledge, Tzarech La'al Fleschar, it's considered benefit. So here, too, even though he didn't make any physical change to the being, just using the beam is considered Mila. Here too, just living in your property, I have to pay you rent. V'shasak, right? And Rav Avua made this comment, Rav Yochanan remained silent. Yusavus, Rabbi Avu understood, Midishasik, why is Rabbi Yochanan remaining silent? My delay, because Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing with Rabbi Avu's conclusion. It says the Gemara V'lohi, Ashguchi lo yashgich pei. It wasn't that Rabbi Yochanan was agreeing, Rabbi Yochanan really wasn't paying attention. Kedarava, as Rav explains, why can we not compare? Why is the conclusion Rabbi Avu reached not a correct conclusion? Dama Rava, Hegdishloim Vidas, in a situation where somebody takes something by Hegdish without the awareness of Hegdish, it's Kehedjit Midas Dami. And we have here a basic machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand the Gemara. We've been discussing, says Rashi, a situation of living in your on your property without your knowledge. Says the Gemara, that's passable by a person. You cannot necessarily be aware of something that I'm doing on your property. Hegdish represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly aware of everything I'm doing, and therefore you can't compare the two cases. Rashi, Tosfos takes issue with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says the fact that Hegdish does or doesn't know what I'm doing really shouldn't play a role here. And therefore, Tosfos explains as follows. Why is there a din? We've been discussing the sugya already for two shiurim. That if I chadab chatsar chaveru shloim midas, that I should be exempt. Because it could be that even if you were aware that I'm on your property, it really wouldn't bother you. That is possible to say by a person. I don't know how the landlord of this property would really react if he were to find out about this. However, when we speak about Hegdish, since we know, and Hilchos Mi'ila is the sugya that teaches us this, that Hegdish is very, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Hegdish are so particular that nobody could misappropriate anything of Hegdish under any circumstances. Therefore, if somebody uses a Hegdish item, even if Hegdish is or isn't aware of what's happening, we know that Hegdish is Makbid, and therefore it's considered Mi'ila. So we still don't have an answer to our question. What is the halacha about Zed Nena v'Zed Loi Chosur? Sholach Rav Abba b'Azabda l'mari b'mar. B'am nem Rav Huna. They asked from Rav Huna, Hadaba chatzor chaveri shloi midatoi. Tzorach la'alfa yischar olai. I'm asking you to please ask Rav Huna, what is the halacha? Ad ha'chid, nach nafshid Rav Huna. Before Mary could arrive, Rav Huna passed away. Amalei Rav Abba Rav Huna, Hachi Amar Abba Mar Mishmed Rav. This is what my father said in the name of Rav, and it's Arklal Suskar. If somebody lives on somebody else's property, Shloim Midas, he doesn't have to pay rent. And then he said another halacha. Asurich Abayis Meruven, Malo Schar L'Shimon. If somebody rents a house from Reuven, he has to pay rent to Shimon. Ask the Gemara, Shimon Mayavidate. Why would I have to pay rent to Shimon if I rented the house from Reuven? Says the Gemara Hakakam. Nimtza Abayis Shal Shimon, if I rented an apartment from Reuven. And then it turns out that it's Reuven, that Shimon's property, the halach is, Malo Schar, I have to pay rent to Shimon. Ask the Gemara Tarti, it seems that these two dinim, these two rules that we just said, are in conflict. If we're saying that if I live in your property without your awareness, I don't have to pay rent, so here Shimon obviously wasn't aware that I was living on his property, so why would I have to pay him rent? Answers the Gemara, Hada Kaimel Agra, Hada Lai Kaimel Agra. The reason I have to pay rent to Shimon, because in this case it's a property that Shimon does normally rent out. And as we already explained in the previous year, in a case where Shimon rents out the property, everybody agrees that so it's a case of Zeh Choser, the Zeh Nena of Zeh Choser, that I have to pay rent. And that's the case that Rav Huna was referring to. Al Gemara is referring to a case the like Kai Malagra, where normally he doesn't pay out the rent, I don't have to pay. There's an interesting question that the Rishonim discuss. Let's say this is indeed a property that normally Shimon would not rent out. But Reuven, who actually is obviously a dishonest person, did rent out the property. Would I have to pay Shimon rent or not? The halacha is, many Rishonim suggest, that once I agree to pay rent, even though the real landlord would not expect me to, does not really normally rent out the property, say to Rishonim, here I have to pay rent. Not only do I have to pay rent, but it seems that, let's say, this honest person rented it to me for a lower rent than market value, and now Shimon becomes aware of this entire situation. The halacha is that I have to pay full market value, and I have to pay that full market value to Shimon. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss, what would be the halacha if I paid already rent to Reuven, this honest person? Do I have to pay Shimon? Shimon says, I never got any money from Reuven, and you owe me the rent. Or is the halacha that I could say, I pay rent to Shimon, and now you have to go and collect that. I pay rent to Reuven, now you, Shimon, should collect rent from Reuven. It's actually a machlokes rishonim. It menami, a similar gemara. Amar chibar avin amar rav. Family amar chibar avin amar afuna. Hadaba chatzer chaver shloim medatoi. Ein etzar plal floischar. We don't have to pay rent. Vasoch bais from the year, if somebody rents apartment from the people of the city, Malas Chalabalam has to pay rent to the owner. Ask the Gemara, Balamaya Vinatayu, what are we speaking about the owner? We're speaking about how does the owner come in here? So the Gemara is similar to the previous Gemara. How come? Nimtzloi Balim, the house, nobody seems to have claimed ownership to it. So that's why I pay rent to the city committee. But if the owners are identified, then the halacha is Malas Chalabalam, we have to pay them rent. Ask the Gemara Tarti, aren't these two rules contradict to each other? And so the Gemara again, Hard the Kaim Lagri, if it's a property meant to be rented, I certainly have to pay the rent. Hard the Light Kaim Lagri, then I don't have to pay the rent. Amar of Schoira, Amar of Huna, Amar of Hadar B'chatzer Chaveri Shlem Adatoi, if I live in somebody else's property without its knowledge, the Lochi is, and it's Sark Lalas Loischar. Mishum Shnemar, Ushia Yukashar. There are Shadim in a property that's left open. Ma'abaravashi says, L'di chazali, I actually saw the shade, O'menagach kitura, and it looks like a bull. If Yosef, a different reason why I don't have to pay rent, because based on the yas for Yosef, a house that's inhabited remains inhabitable. That means, in a house where people live, so people see if there's a problem that comes up with a house, and they're able to fix it. In a house that's not inhabited, nobody knows to. There's nobody that's going to properly take care of the house. Ask them, Mar Benayu, what is the practical difference between these two approaches? Answer the Gemara, Ik Benayu, the Kom Shtamish Bei Betziva V'Tivna. The house is used for storing wood and straw. If the concern is shaded, so in a house where there are straw and wood, there is no concern of shadim. However, if the concern is that we need people to inhabit the house, to be aware of what's going on in the house, that obviously is only possible with people, not with wood and stone, wood and straw. It's interesting to point out, the Rishonim, the Rashba already makes this observation. As far as we've been learning the last number of shiurim, the concern is of Zen Nan of Zen Loy Chaser, is it considered that I damage you, that I have to pay your rent or not in such a situation? Now points out the Rashba, our Gemara takes an entirely new angle. And the Gemara says, the reason I don't have to pay rent when I'm living on your property, when you're not aware of it, is not because I caused you or didn't cause you any damage. It's because I actually gave you benefit. I had prevented the shadim, I took care of the apartment, a whole new concept, which the Gemara didn't introduce. So how do we understand this Gemara? Says the Rashba, that certainly The way to understand the Gemara is as follows. If I live in your apartment, I live in your property, we've been discussing Zeloi Chosa, that you have no laws. And the question is, how could one actually say that you have no laws under such circumstances? Living on your property, you have to have a loss. There's wear and tear on the apartment. There's wear and tear on the property. So it has to be at least some sort of loss. Says, that's why the Gemara says that even if there is some loss, the loss is offset by the benefit that I bring to your property by preventing the shadim from coming, by making sure that the property is taken care of, and therefore that offsets any other concern, and therefore it could indeed be considered a situation of zen nena, the zel like chaser, that the Gemara is now saying I don't have to pay. Interesting machloikis. What would be the halacha if I move into your property without your knowledge? That our Gemara now says that you don't have to, I don't have to pay rent, and then you become aware that I'm living on your property, and you say that you want me to pay and otherwise leave your property. What is the din? The Torah says that if the landlord tells me not to move in, or if upon noticing that I'm living there he tells me to move out, then even according to our Gemara he could be compelled to pay rent, even if it's a situation of Zelei Chosar that he didn't incur any financial loss. There, however, the Nachlas David quotes from Chaim Volozhin, who's saying that even on such circumstances, since it's a situation of Zen Nen of Zelei Chosar, he cannot compel me to pay rent. However, the Pais can point out that even though we're learning now that in a situation of Zen Nen of Zelei Chosar, I'm living on your property, which you normally wouldn't have rented out, I don't have to pay rent because I'm actually bringing you benefit. The benefit has to be understood. Because sometimes the benefit is because there's no shaded, the benefit is because I make sure that the house is being taken care of. But what would be the din, point out the Paiskim, in a case where I didn't move in alone, rather I brought in my whole family, I brought in a whole group. Here, we certainly have a situation, point out the Paiskim, where I'm certainly causing you damage, because the benefit can be accrued just by me being there. By having this whole group, it just makes more wear and tear on your apartment. And there many Paiskim suggest that even in the case of Zenen of Zelei Chosar, I would have to pay rent. Furthermore, the Paiskim use this Gemara to ask a different question, this concept. What would be the halacha if I rented a room in a hotel? And let's say I were a very big Talmud Chacham that spent the entire night learning. So, normally, when somebody rents out a room in a hotel, comes the night, he goes to sleep. Here, I'm a person that's up the whole night learning and keeping the electricity on. Can the landlord come and can the hotel keeper say to me that you should pay more? Because I bargained that you should use it on the normal usage, not if you have this extra usage. And there are prices that suggest that in fact the landlord can make such a claim. Furthermore, I saw interesting shailas. Let's say I rented a room in a hotel, and I come to the room and the electricity is not working. However, my hotel room, Yitzchok Zilberstein discusses these shailas, my hotel room is facing the street, where there are plenty street lamps, and that's how I have electricity in my room. Comes in the morning, I have to pay for my hotel room. I tell the hotel owner, the manager, I want a discount because I didn't have electricity. He says, did you have a problem seeing? I said, no, I used the street lamps. Or I saw another interesting shaila. Doesn't come up so much nowadays. But in ancient times, a clock, a watch, was something that was a rare commodity. So let's say I came to a hotel and I'm there on an important trip. I have to get up on time in the morning, and I say specifically I want a room with a clock. Fine. Then in the morning, then I come to the room, there is no clock in the room. However, my room faces the town square, and it was very common then that in the town square there was a tower with a watch on top of it, a watchtower. So I was able to keep my curtain open and see the time. Again, the morning comes, and I say I shouldn't have to pay the full fare, because the room did not have the watch. And he says, were you able to tell the time? I said, yeah, I was able to tell the time because I had the watchtower. What is the din? So Rav Zilberstein quotes his father-in-law, Rav Yosef, who says, in both of these cases, I'm indeed entitled to a discount. Because he says, in hotels, it's typical there are different rooms with different rates. A hotel that has an ocean view, there's a higher rate for that room than the room that faces the parking lot. Here too, a room with electricity has a higher rate than a room without electricity. A room with a clock has a higher rate than a room without a clock. And therefore, if I specifically agreed to pay for that better room, but I didn't get what I agreed to pay for, I'm entitled to a discount. Says the Gemara, Hahu Gavra, the Bona Apadna Kilkul de Yasmin. There was a person who built a mansion on a dump site owned by orphans. Avay Rav Nachman Apadmanei. Rav Nachman took the mansion away from him to compensate what was due to the Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Lema Kusar Rav Nachman. Shouldn't this be a proof that Adam Chatzar Chaveri Shloim Medatoi Tzachla Alslois Chav? That if I live on your property without your knowledge, I have to pay rent. And that's why he collected from him to pay the Simon the rent. Says the Gemara, there's no proof from there. Who made Kara Kamenoi have a diary bay? That property was a property that people originally lived on. The Chayvel Liyasmi Davamud. And they paid the Yisoyimim a nominal rent. Amalek. So now Rav Nachman said to the person who built a mansion on this property, Zil Paisin Liyasmi, go make a deal, go make a compromise with the Yisoyimim. Really, you should have to pay full rent. For as Rashi explains, once the Yisoyimim collected rent for this property, it falls under the category of a dira hoyamedes laskara, a property that's up for rent. Once it's in the category of a property that's rented, that's up for rent, I have to pay the full rental price. Here he was suggesting to him, make some sort of a deal with the assignment. But if I asked him, he didn't. This person who built the mansion refused to do that. So it says, now you have a right to take, the Yisraelim have a right to take that mansion from you because you did not pay the rent that's due to them. There's a question again that the Rishonim discuss, that the Yisraelim are taking the entire mansion from him. The question is, can he now demand that rent be deducted by the Yisoyimim living in this mansion because they're having use of this mansion? The Tumas Hadeshin makes an interesting observation. He says, we know that throughout Shas, the Gemara many times discusses how the Gemara is so careful with property owned by Yisoyimim, by assets owned by Yisoyimim, how many times debts or obligations that normally would have to be paid, we're more lenient when it comes to Yisoyimim, and we don't make the Yisoyimim pay. Yet in our Gemara we find how the Gemara is suggesting that he should make a deal with the Yisoyimim, even though the Yisoyimim will get less than what they're truly entitled to. And the question is why? Says the Tumas Hadeshin, from here we see a tremendous limud. From here we see the value of shalom, the value of peace. As much as Chazal were concerned about the assets of Yisoyimim, they were just as much, if not more, concerned about shalom. And they say, try to work something out with the assignment, even though it will involve the assignment getting less than what they really do, just to make shalom. And in fact, I saw of Yitzchak Zilberstein that quotes this Truma Sedeshin, and he says a very interesting shaila. He says, there was once a shul, and next to the shul, there was a yard where the children, people who came to shul, their children would play in that yard, which disturbed the neighbors of the shul. So the gabon of the shul wanted to satisfy these neighbors, and they said they were willing to give up a piece of that, of the shul's property, in order that they should be satisfied and not have any complaints. Says Rav Zilberstein, even though normally we know, again, as we spoke about earlier in this year, how careful we are with mum and hegdish, with property owned by hegdish, yet here it's to make peace between the shul and the neighbor. The kabbayim have the right to give up a piece of property owned by hegdish, owned by the shul, just to maintain peace. So we learned in the Mishnah. What is the case where you pay what you benefit? The halacha is, if the animal ate from the middle of the street, she pays only as much as she benefited. But if she eats from the sides of the street, she pays as much as she damaged. Omaraf, ubamachseris. What is the case that she pays as much as she damaged when she ate from the side of the street? When she turned her head to get to the food that is on the side of the street. Even if it had to turn its head, it's potter. And here we have a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand the Gemara. Rashi understands that an animal standing in the Rishus HaRabim and turning its head to eat food on the side of the street is considered a situation of keren. It's mishuna, and something that's mishuna, we know, is keren and it's chayv even in the Rishus HaRabim. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that the Gemara, what Rav is teaching us, is that even though the animal is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, but since it's turning its head into the side of the Rishus HaRabim, it's considered a situation of Chatzar HaNizik, and therefore you would have to pay Nezik Shalom, because it would be considered a regular case of shame. Ask the Gemara. Ulshmol hecha mishkatzlo d'mechayis. Our Mishnah taught us that if the animal eats food on the tzidei Rishus HaRabim, he's chayiv. What is the case that the Mishnah refers to? Says the Gemara. According to Shmuel, is referring to a case kigan d'shavshcha l'rochava. It left walking in the middle of the street for us to become the tzidei. And it stood on the tzidei Rishus HaRabim, that is a case of shame. Ik the master lohashmatz b'apanafsha. The others will learn the machlokes Rav Shmuel independently, not connected to the Mishnah. They're discussing what is the halacha machzeres of an animal standing in the Rishus HaRabim and turns its head towards the Rishus HaYochid. Rav amachayeves, the Shmuel amapatura. The Shmuel asked the Gemara, now that Shmuel established the Mashal Machzeres as Potter, asked the Gemara of Shmuel, Mishalemis Mashazika, Hech Mishkaslo Mechaiva, what is the case of the Mishnah that speaks about Sidei Rishus HaRabim? Answers the Gemara, Kigar the Shachkul Rechava, when animals stopped walking on the on the middle of the road, Vazel come to the Rechava and stood on the side. Masur of Nachman by Yitzchak, so he asks, it says in our Mishnah, the Pesach Chanos, if the animal ate from what's in front of the store, Mishalamis Mashanenis, it paid what she benefited. Haich Mishkatzlo, what is the case? Pshita B'machzeres. She turned her head. The case must be not that the storekeeper placed the entrance of the store in the middle of the street. Rather, it must be that the animal was walking down the street and she turned her head, and yet What does it say in our Mishnah? The Kamah Mashenenis. She only pays as much as she benefited, not Mashenenis in Mashazikaloi, only as much as she benefited, but not as much as she actually did damage. So this isn't this a proof that Machzeres is not considered a situation of shame? Says the Gemara, no. Who Moisev Lo, who Mefarakla? Reb Nachman Yitzchak was the one that asked the question, and he answered it. That's referring to a case, the Kaim of a Karen's office. That the store is standing at a corner. The store was situated just beyond the point where the street narrows, as we see in the diagram in Rashi. So the food spread out at the entrance of the store was in the animal's path as she walked without turning ahead. There, Rab would certainly agree that this is considered shame b'rishus harabim, which, as we've been learning, shame b'rishus harabim yipotah. Ikad Amri, another version. Machzeres kule amalei pligi dechayavus. Everybody agrees that machzeres would be chayiv. Ki pligi. What is the machloikis between Rab and Shmuel? It's referring to a situation b'matzam mokem rishusoy rishus harabim, where somebody took a part of his own property to give for the rishus harabim. V'ach kamer. And this is the way to understand the machloikis of Rab and Shmuel. Amar Rav, lo shonor ela machzeres. When is the halacha that she pays what, for what she damaged, when she turns ahead from the Rishus HaRabim to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? Ava Matzah Mokam Rishus HaRabim. But if somebody sets aside a part of his Rishus to be considered the Rishus HaRabim, so it becomes a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim and Petura, because as we know, Shem Rishus HaRabim is Potter. For Shmuel Omer, Shmuel disagrees. And he says, "Afila maksim makom mishus harabim mishus harya mishus mishus harabim." Even if somebody designates a part of his property for the mishus harabim, the halacha is that he's chayavis. That it's still considered, it's not considered shein mishus harabim. Says the Gemara, "Lema, perhaps this machloikis between Rab and Shmuel is actually the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel." And as the Rishonim point out, it's not that the Gemara is making an observation that these two machlokes are the same. It's actually a question, because we know throughout Shas, Amoraim do not have a machlokes, which is already a machlokes Tanon. Says the Gemara, Lema v'bob Rishus HaKemuski. Perhaps their machlokes is the machlokes regarding somebody who made a bor in his own property. Rav Dama Potter. Rav says that in such a case, he potter k'sav b'bar rishus chayiv. Rav says that if somebody is not going to be chayiv if his animal eats fruit in property that he designated his own property to become rishus rabim, he holds that somebody will be chayiv if he makes a bar if he makes a bar in his property and then afterwards gives that property over to the Rishus HaRabim. Rav will hold that it's considered now like the Rishus HaRabim. And the halacha is that when are you chayiv for bor? You're chayiv for bor when it's in the Rishus HaRabim. So Rav considers this place the Rishus HaRabim, and that would be a case of bor Rishus HaRabim. V'shmul dom chayiv k'sav bor Rishus HaPater. Shmul that says that you're chayiv in such a situation considers this area still a Rishus HaYochid. If it's still considered an area that's Rishus HaYochid, it would be not a case of bar, because bar by definition is only a bar when it's in Rishus HaRabim. So this is a machloikis, as I said, of Rabbi Kiva and Shmuel, which Rav is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and Shmuel is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Gemara is asking how could they have a machloikis which is already a machloikis Tanon. Says the Gemara, the Alma, really they both could hold bar Rishus HaPater. Rav could agree with the opinion, says the Gemara, of Rabbi Shmuel, that this is not considered bar Rishus HaRabim. The Shani Hacha, the Omar, here it's different. Somebody puts out fruit in a piece of land that he gave over to the Rishus HaRabim, because the owner of the animal can say to him, Lav kol kaminoch, you had no right, the mekavis l'laperis l'shusha rabin or mekavis l'teray. It's not within your right that you should bring your fruit so close to the shusha rabin and make my animal liable for eating them. Since this is a place, and this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, since this is a place where animals are allowed to walk, why have we been learning that Shein b'rishus harabim is potter? The reason Shein b'rishus harabim is potter is because the animal didn't do anything wrong. It walked where it's allowed to walk, and it encountered these fruits as it was walking in that area. Here too, says the Gemara, it's not by designating this as an area where people could bring their items, the animal hasn't done anything wrong, and therefore there is no claim. But Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel can indeed say that Ba'amar Barber Shusachayev. Shmuel can in fact agree with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Bishlama Bar Ikalamemalav Adate. When it comes to a bar, somebody could say that the animal was not aware that there was a bar there, that he should know to avoid it. Ela Paris Mikalamemalav Adate. Chazilei. Paris are visible to all, and therefore you can't compare Paris to a bar. Says the Gemara Lema, perhaps Machzeres Tanayi, perhaps we should suggest that this question of Machzeres is actually a Machloikis Tanon. The Tanya, it says in a Braisa, Ochel Metarcha Rechava, if the animal ate from the middle of the street, Mishalemes Mashanenes, it only pays as much as she benefits. Mitzidei Rechava, if she ate from the sides of the street, Mishalemes Mashezika, she pays as much as she damaged. Divrei, Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Leza, Oymrim, Ein Daka, Lechel, Ala Halach. It's not her way to eat, it's only her way to walk. So now, we need to understand what is Rabbi Yosef saying. Isn't Rabbi Yosef asked the Gemara, Hayna Tana Kama, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yosef does not mean that it's not the derech of an animal to eat in Rishus HaRabim altogether. That because the pasuk says that ubiya b'stei acher and the shus rabim yipater. Rather, what Rabbi Yosi must have meant that if it's the way of the animal to walk down the street, and it's not its way to go off and eat from the sides of the street, but that is exactly what the Tanakhama said, that the animal eats what's in the street and doesn't eat what's on the sides of the street. Ella, how must we be able to explain the machloikus of these two opinions? Machzeres ikvinayim, that they're arguing over the concept of machzeres. Tanakama sover, with the Tanakama holding machzeres nami mishalemes mashanenes, that a machzeres only pays as much as she benefits. Rav Yossi is going to hold mishalemes mashaziko. Rav Yossi, by saying the ain daka lechol ela halach, what he was coming to say was, he was coming to say to the Tanakhama that if it's standing in the Rishus HaRabim, but it turns its head to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, it's going to be Chayif. Says the Gemara Loi. That's not necessarily the Machloikas Tam Loi. The Kuala Machzeres Ikar Rav Shmuel. As far as Machzeres are concerned, we could say that everybody agrees either with the opinion of Rav Shmuel. For Hocha, here, there's a different Machloikas altogether. How to understand the Pasuk, Biyah B'stei Acha Kamitzubi. Masova, as we've been learning, the Tanakhama, Ramei Rav Yehuda hold that there is no shame in the Rishus Rabin. According to this, now we're learning that Rabbi Yossi holds that only in the Rishus HaMazik there is no din of shame, but in the Rishus HaRabin there is going to be the halacha of shame, and that's actually what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Rishus HaMazik, ask the Gemara, you're saying that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that one is not obligated for shame in Rishus HaMazik. Says the Gemara, do I need a Pasuk to teach us that? Lema, Perich Rishus in my body. What's your fruit doing in my Rishus? Of course the Mazik should not be Chayiv for shame that happens in his property where the Nizik had no right to leave his food in my Rishus. We learned in the previous year the case where, according to Ilfa's case, which we learned in Daf Chof and Aleph, where an animal stretched out of her neck and ate from the load on another animal's back. Or we learned in the same shiur yesterday, Reb Oishi's case, where an animal jumped up and ate of the out of the basket that someone was carrying. That's the question, is what do you pay under those circumstances? The Tana Kama will hold that you only pay Masha Nenis, as much as she benefited, and Rabbi Yossi, as we learned in the previous year, this will be considered a situation either of Keren or either of Rishus HaNezek, and you pay not just Masha Zika, as much Masha Nenis, as much as she benefited, but she actually pays damages. Says the Mishnah, Hakelva Adi Shekov Tzimrash Agav, a dog or a goat that jumped from the top of the roof, Veshavras HaKelim, and broke Kalim as it landed below. The Aloch is Mishamim Nezik Shalom. They have to pay Nezik Shalom, Neshim U'adim. Jumping is considered a toll of the regal, and you have to pay Nezik Shalom, and it does make a difference, as we've learned so many times, regarding the Mazik of regal. There's not make a difference of Tam or Mu'ud. As soon as the animal does it, it's considered normal for an animal to do this, and it pays Nezik Shalom. The Rishonim, however, do point out that it depends what was the height of this roof, and if the roof, says the Meiri, was very high up, then it's not considered a case of regal. Says the Mishnah further, Hakalv Shanotl Charoro, of a dog took a biscuit from coals on which it was baking, for Halach Lagodish, and it went to a stack of grain, Ochel Charoro, and the dog ate the biscuit, the Hidlak Lagodish, and set fire to the stack, is the Aloch al Charoro Mishalom Nezik Shalom. This is a situation of shame. But Godish Mishalom Chatzin Nezik, and in Mitzvah Shem we're going to explain the Gemara why on the Godish you only pay Chatzin Nezik. The Meiri points out that this is again only in a case where the field was not left completely open. But if the field was left completely open, that it became so easy for the dog to do this, then the dog would not, you would not, the owner of the dog would not be chayav for damages under these circumstances. Says the Gemara, Tama the Kofetzu, it's only because they jumped from the roof, Hanaflu, but if they would have fallen from the roof and broken Kalim as they fell, Potter, Alma, so it seems that the Tana of Al Mishnah holds, Ksavet, Chilasim, Pshir, Vesoif, Boinus, Potter, when we have a situation where the animal could have jumped. Obviously we're dealing with a roof from which the animal could jump. He left his dog unguarded on such a roof. Still, if the animal falls from the roof and breaks the kalim, which is something that's an oinus, we seem to see that the owner is not chayiv. Tanya Hochi, HaKelev Agdi, Shekoftim Rosh HaGod, V'Shavras HaKelem, V'Shalman Nezik Shalom, only because they jumped, and you're held responsible for letting your dog be in a roof where it could jump to that situation. Naflu, but if they fell, which was an oinus, then you'd be potter. Ask the Gemara, HaNich L'man D'Omer, T'chilos V'Shir, V'Saifa B'Oinus, where I had the dog in a situation which was a Pshia, I left him unguarded in such a situation, and then what happened at the end was an oinus, is potter, so we could understand what our Mishnah is saying. Ela man dom chayiv, according to man dom, it says tchila b'pshir v'soif b'oinus is chayiv, mayikul ameimer, how are we going to understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, you're going to makarva kelim v'gava kaisel. They're going to explain where the kelim were very close to the wall. The kikafzi, if the dog would have jumped off the roof, the kafzi lo naflo layu, they would have never hit those kelim. So even so, we feel a tchilah of pshia leka. We don't have a situation that there was a pshia ever, because since the kelim were situated in such a place that even if the dog were to jump, it would never hit those kelim. So we don't have a case of tchilah of pshia for such bodies. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava. There are cases where even if the dog fell off the roof, where would that be? We're talking in a case where the wall around the roof is weak. So then he's even negligent as far as the animals falling, because he should have taken into consideration that this wall may collapse and that the animal will then fall off the roof. Mind you, why is the person liable in such a situation? The byway, the sukidata, the nafalachi, he should have been mindful that bricks will fall and they will break the kelim. Or another pshat is that since the animal is likely to come brand himself against those bricks, he's going to cause the wall to collapse and fall down. Says the Gemara, Soif, Loi Nafal Archiv Nafal in him. But what happened here was that the Mishnah doesn't speak about the bricks falling. The bricks did not fall, rather the animal fall. Isn't this a case of Tchilas B'Shfiya, the Soif B'Oinasu? And as we just finished learning, it's a Shaila if you're Chayiv in that case. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzmicha, the Koisel Tzar. Our Mishnah is referring to a narrow wall. And as Rishonim point out, we are now retracting. We no longer have to say that it's talking about a weak wall, but it's talking about a narrow wall. So the animal's fall from the top of the wall onto the kelim is not something that's unforeseeable. Rather, it's because of the owner's pshia, because he should have been mindful that the animal would jump to the top of the wall. That's the way animals act. And once he would be on this wall, since it's such a narrow wall, he's going to fall. So we're not, and that's why it's not considered. That's why it's considered a full-fledged pshia that our Mishnah says he's chayiv.